Once we have those last pods loaded, we'll close up the cargo hold.
Be sure to scan the hold for any unwanted guests before we leave, Brother Ethan. That's standard procedure now.
Absolutely. Except the Ravens are wanted guests. They're cargo.
Yes, except for the Ravens, terraforming a lifeless planet takes patience and a long view. This project we are delivering to must have made significant progress to have higher life forms such as Ravens.
I hear they are rather hardy as a species with a wide diet. That's what their keeper was saying.
And intelligent. Look at their tiny eyes. There's a little brain behind there.
Honestly, I've been trying not to. The way they watch us sort of creeps me out. Those beady black eyes.
Ah, you have an overactive imagination.
We're just about ready to close it all up now, I see. Pardon me, Brother Patrick, as I tend to business.
No problem. I have some business to tend to myself. We'll be taking off soon. I need to do a few more quick diagnostics of the propulsion systems.
VSF Blessings, a Star Trek fan production. We may live in a broken world, a broken universe. There is good and evil, right and wrong, light and dark. But we can be the good. We can do what's right. We can be the light. And we can do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're beyond the atmosphere now, sir.
That went smoothly. Practice makes perfect. Right, Brother Matthias?
We've certainly been getting plenty of that lately.
Bring the ship around so we can go to warp soon.
Aye, sir.
What in the world?
Captain!
Captain Hollis to Brother Ethan. One of our guests in the cargo hold has escaped and made its way to the bridge. Can you please come help extract it from the top of helm control?
What, Captain? I mean, of course, but how?
I certainly do not know, but I want this raven off my bridge before it starts redecorating.
Almost there, Captain.
It's pecking on the controls.
Are they responding?
No, I don't think so.
Good. I didn't think the control surfaces would be calibrated to a bird's beak. I just hope it doesn't break it. It's tapping awfully hard.
How can I help, Captain? I haven't tried to catch a bird before.
Me neither, Matthias. Me neither.
I'm here, Captain.
It's just a routine checkup. We've visited several worlds lately, and the captain wants me to see if we're all doing well. That's all.
Okay, but did you have to insist upon now, Brother Thomas? I was about to start the realignment of the artificial gravity plating.
Sounds positively riveting. I am so sorry I tore you away from that.
You will be when we all have to start walking at an angle.
Just hold still for a little while longer. Patience is a virtue after all.
Truth be told, doctors make me nervous.
Truth be told, I'm not a doctor. I'm a medtech.
Same difference, same exam table.
Same diagnosis. You're fine. Now stop tying up my exam table.
Gladly. And doc, I mean medtech.
Yes?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Not again! Ah! Brother Matthias to Brother Ethan. We have another escaped raven. Deck 3 hallway. As our resident bird catcher, I need your assistance, please.
Be right there. How are they getting out?
That's a mystery we would all like to be solved.
Were you able to view the camera footage of the enclosures when the first one got out?
I found the footage and saw the raven fly by the camera, but its particular enclosure was blocked from view by a cargo pod. I learned nothing useful.
I can set up some temporary cameras down there to catch these wily critters in the act.
That sounds like a good idea, but let's take care of this raven in front of me on the hallway floor first.
Almost there. With the first raven, I wondered if the enclosure's door was properly closed. This time, I know the doors were closed properly. I checked them myself.
It's pecking on the doorframe now.
Yes, they do that a lot.
Now it's looking at me.
I'm here, brother!
At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Not again!
Let's wait for it to land.
No!
It didn't know these are holographic walls in the chapel. It flew right into one.
It's knocked itself out, I believe. It's still breathing.
Heavenly Father, you created all things for your glory and made us stewards of this creature. If it is your will, restore it to health and strength. Holy is your name forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Thomas, can you take the Raven to sickbay to check it out while we continue with the Mass, please?
Yes, will do, Captain. I mean, Father.
So how's your patient?
Right as rain, sir. A bruised head, but nothing permanent, thankfully.
That's good news.
But there is one thing.
What is that?
This Raven is not your run-of-the-mill Raven. It's been genetically modified.
Genetically modified? In what way?
If you look here on the screen, you will see a normal Raven's brain compared to this one's brain. This extra bit right here is a paracortex.
Okay.
And this paracortex contains psilocyanine as a neurotransmitter. Lots of it.
And what does that mean?
It means this Raven, and quite possibly the others in there, are telepathic. Betazoids have similar anatomy in their brains.
You're saying these birds can read minds?
Maybe not our minds, but each other's minds at least. In theory.
Why? How?
While I cannot answer the why, I can make an attempt at the how. As the telepathic species that we know of evolved into being, there were offshoots along the way. Other animals that never became sentient beings still had telepathic abilities. Some went extinct, but others still survive to this day, such as the Lunarian wolf. It uses its telepathic abilities to hunt in packs to outsmart its prey.
But how did these ravens acquire this ability?
I believe someone genetically modified the raven DNA to include a paracortex with elevated psilocyanine. I do not believe they created the genetic code themselves, but snipped it from another species to include it in the raven genome.
Why do you believe that?
There are what appear to be too many natural errors in the code for it to be artificially created.
Will their offspring have the same abilities?
Like I said, it's part of their genome, so yes, I believe so.
Okay, let's first discover the extent of this discovery. Would you check out the other ravens and see if they are like this one?
Absolutely, sir.
And then let's all get together in the briefing room to discuss this situation. Okay, where do we stand? Brother Ethan, you first. How are these ravens getting out?
We caught it on camera this time. They're inputting the lock combination and the door pops open.
And how are they doing that?
These are not touch panel locks, but buttons instead. They have taken a wire that holds one of their feeding containers in place and bent it in such a way that they can push the buttons from inside the cage.
Wow, how did they know the combination?
Each button makes its own unique chirp when pressed. Either they were trained to open them, or they memorized the sounds and order and figured out the locations through trial and error.
Ravens are known to be highly intelligent birds, with the ability to solve puzzles, build simple tools, and even plan for the future. Opening locks in such a way is beyond anything I've seen in my limited research, but they can be trained.
Interesting. And what about the genetic modifications? Are the other ravens similarly adapted, Brother Thomas?
Yes, Captain. Every single one of them. The entire flock has the anatomy for telepathic abilities. Whether they know how to use them or not is unknown at this time.
The way they all just stare at you is eerie. Now we know they are reading our minds.
No, we don't know that. Cross-species telepathy isn't a given. Plus, as I just said, we don't know if they are even using their abilities or not. Let's not jump to conclusions here.
Okay, first, let's ensure these ravens stay in their cages for their own safety. We don't want another incident like in the chapel, brothers Patrick and Ethan. You see to that, please. Second, I will need to reach out to the Terraforming Project to see if they are aware of the uniqueness of their ravens. Such genetic engineering is banned by both the Federation and the Church. There's a story to be told here. We just don't know it yet. Anything else about these ravens that we know?
They like to peck a lot.
I see. Anything else?
Hello, Captain. I'm Project Coordinator Deborah Benson. I hear you're en route to us with some needed supplies.
Yes, we are.
Is there a problem?
Perhaps. It's about the Ravens.
The Ravens? Are they okay? We're really counting on them in our plans.
Oh yes, they're okay. All healthy and doing well.
Then what's the problem?
Were you aware they had all been genetically modified?
Genetically modified? No, I assure you, we were not aware of this. If we had been, they would certainly not be on your ship now. What are the modifications?
This is where it gets a little more interesting. There's only one real modification. It appears snippets of DNA were included in their genome to add a paracortex complete with elevated psilocinine levels.
Psilocinine? Why do I know that word?
Because having it and the paracortex are associated with telepathic abilities, such as those found in betazoids.
What? Why add that to a bird? A raven?
I was hoping you could shed some light on that mystery, Project Coordinator.
Oh my, I'm not sure what I could add.
We picked up the supplies and birds from the Planetary Biosphere Department of the University of Dayton. Do you know where the birds originated from?
Yes, actually. They came from Dr. Anna Carlson. She was a biologist specializing in environmental disaster recovery and terraforming.
Was?
Sadly, she passed away a few months ago. These ravens were one of her personal projects, apparently. Her estate executor was looking for a home for them, and the Planetary Biosphere Department knew we were looking for passerine bird species in the genus Corvus, which includes ravens and crows. Before animals, or even plants for that matter, can be transferred between planets, there is a quarantine period they must go through to prevent the unwanted spread of disease and pests. She had kept them in quarantine already, which we had assumed was for a project like ours, but there were no records of which one. We were the lucky recipients, or so we thought.
Interesting. Any idea where she may have gotten them from?
I never asked.
I see. While I plan to give the University of Dayton's Planetary Biosphere Department a call next, what is the fate of these birds? Do you still want them? Can you even take them after what we've discovered?
I guess those are the questions at hand. Gene modifications, telepathic powers, can they actually read minds?
We have not been able to determine that at this time. It's possible they don't even know the ability is there.
I'll need to consult with the advisory board about this. May I get back with you?
Yes, no problem. You still need the other supplies regardless.
True.
I'll try to track down the source of the ravens in the meantime as well. Sorry to have been the bearer of complicating news.
I understand, Captain. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. We'll be talking soon.
What did you want to see me about, Brother Matthias?
It's about these ravens. They're pecking again.
Yes, they do that a lot.
I know, but they've pecked this pattern before. I swear they have.
Interesting. Perhaps they were trained to, or maybe it's some mating ritual.
No, it's something else. The pecking or tapping, it sounds almost like some sort of... Please don't think I'm crazy, but computer, analyze the ravens pecking for a pattern or code or language.
Analyzing.
Do you really think the computer will find anything? I mean, it just sounds like a whole lot of random pecking to me.
I don't know for sure, Brother Ethan, but even if it sounds crazy, it doesn't hurt to ask. I mean, before today, I never expected to meet telepathic birds either.
You make a solid point there. I still think they're reading our minds. Right now, even.
They've stopped.
That they have.
And there they go again. Computer, any progress on the analysis?
Analyzing.
This may take a while.
Analysis complete.
What's so urgent that you called us down here so quickly, Brothers Matthias and Ethan?
You simply will not believe this.
I still don't.
Believe what?
Remember when I mentioned the ravens like to peck a lot?
Yes.
Well, there's more to it than that.
A lot more.
Something about the pecking bothered me. It didn't feel random. I kept thinking I was hearing repeating patterns.
And were you?
To confirm, I asked the computer to run an analysis to see if there was a pattern, or a code, or even a language. I felt crazy asking.
I thought he was nuts.
Except luckily I wasn't.
Which means?
There is a pattern, a code, a highly efficient QuickTap code, and even a language.
A what?
Did you just say what I think you said?
Yes, these ravens can communicate.
What were they saying?
You may have noticed they are quiet right now. They're listening. Ask them yourself.
Really? Just speak out loud?
Yes, Captain. Really, just speak out loud. The computer will translate us for you.
What in the world?
Your colleagues here responded in much the same way.
Is this real? Are you two pranking me? I don't have the time nor patience for this if you are.
I assure you, Captain, we are not. When we discovered it was a language, we asked the computer to start translating everything they said. They started talking to us. We replied. Before we knew it, we were having a two-way conversation with a flock of ravens. That's when we called you and Brother Thomas.
But they are all pecking at once. Aren't they all saying something different?
We all speak as one.
You what?
Speak as one.
Are you okay, Captain? You've turned a little pale.
It's just that the Borg all speak as one.
Oh, sorry, Captain.
This is a lot to process. Ravens, if you speak as one, are you individuals or are you a collective forming one common entity?
If we understand you properly, we are individuals. We have our own wants, needs, moods, and aims, like any bird. It's when we connect our brains together that we think on a higher plane, where we cease being base animals and achieve sentience, where we gain a broader understanding of the world, where we ponder our own place in this universe. But to answer your deeper question, we are not Borg.
You know the Borg?
We know what the Holonews said. We are different.
In what ways?
We have free will. We seek to learn. We seek harmony with those around us.
Do you seek perfection?
Perfection is unobtainable. We seek to improve ourselves, but not at the cost of others.
I will take you at your word for now.
We ask for nothing more.
Translation is complete and uploaded to our universal translators now, sir. The computer no longer has to be their voice. The voice you next hear from them will be through the universal translator.
Thank you, Brother Patrick. How are you doing this, Ravens?
You already know we are equipped for telepathic capabilities, Captain. The unique wiring of a typical Raven's brain is quite curious, analytical, and efficient. Not on the same level as a human brain, but something to notice. The telepathy connects our brains together, borrowing capacity from each other, forming a network for higher thought. As more of us connected, the higher our brain functions collectively became. We became sentient. We can still have our basic thoughts as our own, but we can also tap into the higher thoughts just as easily.
How do you know this?
Anna, or Dr. Anna Carlson, told us. She studied and cared for us.
Did she create you?
We do not believe so.
Who created you?
We do not know.
Where did she get you?
We are not sure. We arrived a few at a time. Our memories began when our proximity was close enough to telepathically connect to the flock.
The flock?
That's what Anna called us. We like it. Collectively, we are the flock. When addressing us directly, Anna simply called us Raven. We like that too.
As your flock grows, will you continue to become collectively more intelligent and capable?
That is the same logical assumption we had as well. But Anna thought we were showing signs of plateauing. We are not of sufficient number to confirm this one way or another.
Do you know where we are taking you?
Yes, to a world that's being terraformed.
That is correct. What are your thoughts about that?
Anna often spoke of such worlds. We find it fascinating. The concept of taking a barren world of rock and adding the ingredients of life.
Thank you.
So first, you called to tell me our ravens have been genetically modified, Captain. Then you tell me they are sentient beings, a form of intelligence yet unseen in the universe. Do I have that right?
Basically, yes. It's a lot to take in, I know.
And they need a home.
Yes. As you can imagine, Earth is off limits now due to fears of cross-contamination of the species.
And the flock, as they like to be called, proposes working together to enhance the terraforming process.
As their capabilities grew, Dr. Anna Carlson put them through an extensive, accelerated educational process, including her areas of expertise such as terraforming.
So they're book smart.
And eager to prove their worth.
How smart did you say they were?
According to them, Dr. Carlson's last evaluation measured an IQ of approximately 150.
That's genius level for humans. What would keep them from continuing to grow, advancing, and outsmarting us all on the project?
That's a fair question. They would like to meet with you, your advisory board, and biologists, if possible. They say they wish to be both transparent and to state their case.
Okay, I'll see what I can arrange. I'm taking this all on faith, Captain, which is a rather tall order.
Yes, it is.
Have you ascertained whether they can read other species' minds or not, such as humans?
They say they have not been able to so far. Brother Thomas's medical scans have revealed nothing. I've seen one of them genuinely startled by one of my crew walking up behind it, which is hard to do with telepaths such as Betazoids. It's something else to watch to see how it develops, I guess.
One more thing to add to the list. May I speak to them now over a communication channel so I can get a better understanding and feel for the situation?
I think that is a splendid idea. Let my team get the communication equipment set up, and we will reach back out to you shortly.
Thank you, Captain. Not what you expected when you started this journey, I'm sure. It certainly wasn't what we expected when we made the original arrangements.
Life has a funny way of serving up the unexpected.
I'm learning to expect that.
Thanks for coming, Matthias. This routine checkup shouldn't take long.
No problem, Brother Thomas.
Now, before we get started, I looked over your medical records and no abnormalities to speak of, other than you've had a kidney replaced. One is your original and the other has scar tissue around it, but appears to be regrown. The records did not indicate why. I need to update that. There has to be a story there.
Oh yes, there's a story. I'm surprised it's not in my medical records, but I had to donate my kidney to my dad. Then, later they were able to regrow my missing kidney.
Really? May I ask why your father required the kidney?
Absolutely you can. My family and I were on a camping trip on this remote moon. I don't even remember which one. My parents love camping in exotic environments, just man against nature, plus a little technology. Before embarking on such adventures, there were always immunizations we had to take. There's not much out there I shouldn't have some sort of immunity against after all our trips.
I can imagine so.
In the end, it was a clerical error, really, that led to my dad contracting a local virus. A medical technician miskeyed one of the immunizations for my father. The rest of the family was appropriately immunized, but not my dad for this one virus. His fever started on our third day.
Of all the luck.
By the time we were able to get help and him out of there, the virus had ravaged both kidneys. They had been completely rendered useless. The local medical unit was not equipped to regrow or replicate organs. It could only cover the basics. After clearing his body of the virus, it took a more old-fashioned approach to save my dad's life. Perhaps a member of his family was a match to donate a kidney.
And you drew the short straw?
Actually, two of us did, but I wasn't going to let my younger brother do it. I gladly volunteered to help my dad. He resisted at first, but we won the argument in the end.
So they weren't equipped to regrow or replicate the kidney. But they could perform a transplant surgery. That's not a simple surgery and involves two people.
Another hiker was a Starfleet surgeon who had worked on the front lines in years past, doing all sorts of operations using methods we would never consider today, unless desperate. We were desperate.
It sounds like it.
So my dad and I have matching scars to remind us of some real family bonding time.
My father and I preferred to play chess instead of camping.
Not many scars in chess.
Very true, but still lots of good times. Thank you for sharing your story. I will note it in your medical records. Now let's get started with this scan, shall we?
Docking at the orbital terraforming base complete, sir.
Fantastic. Now let's go meet our guests.
I'm right behind you. I'm going to miss the flock. It's been fun getting to know them, Captain.
I agree, Brother Matthias. All the trouble they were causing at the start was to get our attention. Thanks to you and your keen observations, they succeeded.
They wouldn't have stopped until they had.
I have no doubt about that.
Do you think they'll be allowed to join the terraforming project?
There is a lot to consider, that is for sure. It all starts with a question, though, and it never hurts to ask. I hope so.
Me too.
The Vatican is working with the Federation to come up with alternatives in case this is not a good fit for either party.
I still find all this hard to wrap my head around. The flock is composed of multiple individuals who collectively make a single individual. Even more amazing is somehow it seems to work without some sort of multiple personalities disorder psychotic break. Absolutely amazing.
Unfortunately, my only reference point is the Borg. As you know, the flock is completely different than that.
But at least you have a reference point. And that's valuable in understanding what they are and are not. Having a resident expert on such collaborative thinking was a real stroke of luck for the flock, wouldn't you say? It helped answer the basic questions on everyone's mind up front.
I hadn't thought of it that way. Sounds suspiciously like fate, Brother Matthias.
I just know God has a plan, and we're part of that plan.
Yes, we are.
Good to see you face to face, Captain. It looks like your cargo hold will be leaving empty.
You've come to an agreement? That was fast.
When you get a bunch of eager scientists together, things can proceed quickly. While we did not have a flock of sentient ravens in our original plans, one must adapt in this profession. The first thing they teach you about terraforming at university is to plan thoroughly but be prepared to throw it all out the window on day one when reality hits.
World-building isn't for the faint-hearted.
That's an understatement, Captain.
What about your concerns regarding what the flock may develop into as their numbers and capabilities grow?
We'll be monitoring that closely. The flock seems equally concerned, but for other reasons as well. Will what they currently have become unstable at greater numbers? Will it change? How will they manage a larger network of mines? What happens when they get down to the planet and they have more area to explore? Will their combined intellect weaken with greater distance? They're a new life form with more unanswered than answered questions.
Sounds like you'll need a few more resources to assist with this.
Requests are being submitted by my staff as we speak.
I suspect you won't have much trouble finding willing candidates.
I suspect you are correct.
We still have not learned where the Ravens originated from.
No, but it seems well planned. The flock has significant genetic variation in its population, which should make expanding its numbers very viable.
Which begs the question of what were the original plans? Was sentience part of it, or was that an unexpected side effect? Does the originator even know? How did Dr. Anna Carlson, a renowned scientist, get wrapped up in this whole thing?
Well, at least that problem is out of our hands for now. The Federation promised to continue to investigate. Until we know more, we're going with what we've been dealt. We need ravens, and these particular ones need some place to call home. Plus, they're eager to assist with the terraforming activities. That's a win-win-win in my book.
In my book, too. Captain's log, stardate 44593.1. We are en route back to Earth. The terraforming supplies were successfully delivered, including our new friends, the flock. As a young lad running through cornfields and watching the startled birds take flight, I never guessed I would be holding a conversation with them one day. perhaps one of their descendants. I always dreamt about going to space and witnessing God's creation on a grand scale. Yet, here I was, discovering new life right in my own backyard. My father is always trying to save the universe one person at a time, as he says. This time, we had to save the many to save the one as well. God works in mysterious ways.
You have been listening to VSF Blessings, a Star Trek fan production. Episode 3, The Flock. Created, written, produced, directed, and audio engineered by James McDonald. Story consultation provided by Noah McDonald. All character voices were generated using 11 Labs AI voice generator. Sound effects from Pixabay.com under free use content licenses and TrekCore.com. Star Trek and all related marks, logos, and characters are solely owned by CBS Studios, Inc. This fan production is not endorsed by, sponsored by, nor affiliated with CBS, Paramount Pictures, or any other Star Trek franchise, and is a non-commercial fan-made production intended for recreational use. No commercial exhibition or distribution is permitted. No alleged independent rights will be asserted against CBS or Paramount Pictures. Until next time, be the good, do what's right, and be the light.